Hey, you're listening to the Produce Like a Boss podcast, where we are arming you with the tools that you need to become a six-figure producer. So if you're brand new here and you don't know me, hey, I'm Chris Bradley. I have built a six-figure production company from my home studio, recording and producing through multiple revenue streams, including sync licensing, beat licensing, custom songwriting, session work, and more. All right, let's do this.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Produce Like a Boss podcast. So happy to be here with you and talking about all the tools and tips and tricks you need to be a pro musician, producer, whatever it is you're doing in the music world. We're here to help you. My name is Patrick. I am the brand manager at Produce Like a Boss, and I'm of course joined every episode by the wonderful Chris Bradley. Hello again.
Hey there. You know what I was just thinking? You got such a good radio voice.
You know, I did host a little radio show back in my day at the Western University. We did a little college radio show.
I can see that. I've always complimenting you on how well-spoken you are, but you just have such like, it's so like calming and like just pleasant. Like it's such a good like radio voice.
I love it. Maybe I should go into some more like ASMR podcasting or something. Just like, and you're driving over a soft meadow.
Well, I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to chat about all the things.
Time management is what we're talking about today, and it couldn't have come at a better time. I do like the joke that these podcasts are just my own personal coaching, and I just bring in all my problems to you, and then we just talk about them to the world. So we're talking about time management today. Again, I said this last episode, but another topic we've been spitballing around for a long time, and something that I know is really a passion of yours and has changed the game. So we're going to dive into all things time management. I'm loving to hear your experience with it, and can't wait to sort of see how people can start introducing some tools into their lives that maybe are struggling right now. So why don't we just kick off with this? Let's just talk about, you know, when did you sort of find these time management tools a necessity for you? I know you've spoken to me about when you were first kind of growing Boomfox Productions, your production company, and you're like, I started with a whiteboard and then that got really chaotic to use and I had to find systems, and you know, eventually you start juggling a lot of things. But I feel like as musicians, we're working all day every day because our craft is our life, and that can get messy, right? That when you have no time constraints.
Yeah.
So maybe just tell me a little bit about how you sort of realized that, you know, a change was needed in your career.
Sure. So I always joke that, you know, every skill that I, because, you know, I talk about being a skill stacker. Every skill that I've stacked has always come out of necessity, right? So it's not like I sat around going, you know, I think I need to get better at time management. Let me do some research. It was like all of a sudden you're running around like a headless chicken and you're like, there's got to be a better way, right? And that's exactly what happened when I started getting really busy with client work, right? Mm-hmm. Is all of a sudden things were piling up on top of each other. And now a dropped ball didn't just result in me not finishing a personal project, which also is not good, but not quite as high of stakes as when you have someone paying you for something, right? So that's really how I came into this, was learning how to be, how to save my ass as I was building a business. You know, I always say it's a lot easier to get repeat clients than it is to get a new client. And so you do that by providing exceptional service, and you can't do that if you're not organized, right? If you're not, you know, working on deadlines, communicating effectively, having everything that you need in one place, you know, there's, I don't have the, excuse me, frog in my throat. I don't have the resource next to me, but it's something crazy. Like humans spend an absorbent amount of hours per year just looking for things that they've lost, right? So it's like kind of getting into that, like, you know, that inefficiency where when you're working with people, like, you know, like this could be done better. And it's like, maybe you're just struggling to get to the end of the job and then you finally get it done, you know, and then it's like, oh, they didn't pay you. Now you got to track down the payment, right? And then it becomes like, it goes from that survival to like, how can I manage this ahead of time so that everything is automated, it's flowing, and it's smooth. And so that's really what brought me to it, was having an influx of clients and not being able to deal with them professionally and being afraid that they wouldn't come back.
right. You know? Well, that's a great point. It makes me curious. Did you feel any resistance in terms of having to adopt new strategies, new techniques that, you know, previously you didn't need to be served. Like I can think to myself particularly, and I even find it, you know, now in my day-to-day life, like I take more notes now than I used to take, because I used to be able, I could remember things, and I can still remember things, but the workload's changed. Like I'm juggling more things. And you talk about how like, you weren't really a reader before, and now you read more books than anyone I've ever met in my life. And but did you feel resistance having to sort of like maybe slow down to speed up, introduce some time management software into your life that you're like, it's fine, I just keep it in the dome, like I got it up here.
Okay, well, let's unpack that really quick. Yeah. So, you know, why would you use your beautiful brain to store something? That's what storage is for. That's what Google is for, right? Like, you know what I mean? Yes. It's like, I think, was it Henry Ford or Abraham Lincoln or something, when questioned about, you know, their level of intelligence, he was like, why would I store any of this information in my brain when I can simply pick up the phone and get the answer, right? So right. It's like, that's the first thing. It's like offloading it, getting it released, like getting that off of your head. Just because you right. can doesn't mean you should. So just because you have a good memory doesn't mean you should be utilizing your brain power to memorize things that you could be managing like with a system, right?
Right.
So the thing is, like, we can use this for so much more, and it actually frees up way more room for creativity when you're not bogged down by little details, right? So people often, they tend to shy away from things like time management or project management software because they see, here's the funny ironic right. thing, they see something like a Monday board or a Google spreadsheet or a Trello board, and they immediately see all those details and they go, oh my God, like I can't even look at that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm like, right, you want to leave right. that in your brain? The same thing that's trying to come up with like a brilliant lyric. Like, why would you put it yeah. there? That just feels like keeping garbage in a place that like should be clean and free, right? So, you know, this goes back, and we talk about this a lot, to identity shift, perspective shift, right? I could have saw that as resistance, or I could see that as an opportunity to do things better. And that's what I saw. I saw an opportunity for growth here. I saw an opportunity to go, you know, this isn't about becoming a nerd, which I kind of am, but you know, it's not about becoming super left brain. It's about like, yeah, I'm going to bring in that left brain logical side as a container for my creativity, as a way to support my art, as a way to grow and expand. And once I changed my perspective on it, the resistance completely released, right? And I did go from, you know, my first method of doing this, because I'm not, you know, everyone knows I'm not the most tech savvy person. Clearly, right. I've gotten better over the years, right? But it's still to this day is not a go-to for me sometimes, where I have to remind myself that, oh, there's probably an app that does that, you know? Right. So my first stab at this was a whiteboard that, you know, I had a big ass whiteboard, and I had different color markers that, you know, meant different things. And I created these columns, and it's like, okay, I've got these clients. This is the type of job it is. This is where it's at in the pipeline, you know? And that worked well when I was simply working by myself and when I didn't have more than maybe five projects. But right. as things started to pile up, and I discovered tools, like I think my first one was Trello. I realized that not only was that good for organizing my own stuff, but that it was a good collaborative tool as well. And I could invite somebody, whether it's a team member or even the client themselves, which you can't do if you have a whiteboard or a piece right. of paper, right? I also used to use this as my to-do list used to be scribbled on paper. And it's just more effective in that way, you know?
Right. You've explored something that I think what's really interesting there too, and what's worth noting is sort of like you say, you're serving sort of the level that you're at as needed. And I think sometimes that Trello stuff or Monday, that can be really overwhelming. Like you say, a whiteboard did work for you when you had no system and it was on your own, and you can sort of scale
that
the
was
tools
the
as
system.
They need it. Right.
So
yeah.
that's, I just want to jump into that for just a second. Like for anyone watching the video, I'm holding up like a lined, you know, like notebook. That was my first system. Okay. Getting it. And that's a good step because it got it out of my head. Right. But then this was like, okay, this isn't good. Right. So then I moved to the whiteboard. You know, so many people don't realize that no matter what you're doing, like the person who went, oh my God, I can't believe that Monday board, you already have a system. You just might have a really shitty one. Right.
Sure.
So there was always a system. It's just always improved over time based on the needs, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that was sort of my point in terms of, you know, feeling overwhelmed, like introducing some sort of tool into your life will be better than not. And you can do that at a gradual point, as opposed to maybe you don't need the tech software system that manages a team of 10 people. Maybe you need something more lo-fi, but I think that's something that people have a lot of resistance getting into is thinking like, oh, I'm not even going to start. Like, I can't make a database or like a, you know, something that's going to manage my week. It's like, maybe you need something more lo-fi, but you need to start thinking in these, the sort of new way, like you say, to contain your creativity, because it's so interesting. I personally, even to this conversation, never thought about the fact of like, you probably can only hold so much in your brain. Like you're using a lot of resource to keep track of a lot of stuff. And I think I personally just use it as like a point of pride, just because I do have a really strong memory for the most part. So it's like, well, I'm fine. You know, like in school, I never really wrote like homework. I just remembered sort of stuff. But you're totally right about like, how much resource do you want to dedicate to this? And how is that serving where you're at? And I think that for me, like that's a big piece of resistance to overcome, is super valuable.
Think about it like RAM, you know, like how well does your computer work when you have so many different applications, software, plugins, all those things open? It crashes, it burns. Yeah. And the brain is the exact same way. Does that make sense?
100%. And I'm curious, you know, in your journey of time management, what are some things that you're working on right now? Like now, you know, we're running this company, we're running Producical Boss, we have a new brand that we're branching off into. Like you have a lot of things on your plate. And I'm just curious, when you're working at sort of a high level, what are things that you look at your own life now and you're like, man, where do I want to get more efficient? Like, what are you personally just trying to tackle right now as you've sort of gone into this sort of high level of time management?
It's funny how the more high level you want to go, the simpler it becomes. Like, if that makes sense. It's like, I remember like just a couple of years ago, everything was about do more. There's more complexity. There's more systems. We got to do more and we got to do it more efficiently and more effectively. You know? And now it's like, do less. Say no to more shit. Turn down more opportunities. Yeah. Avoid the shiny ball is, you know.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I also kind of love that I chase shiny balls too, because it's part of my creativity and who I am. And I do like to do lots of things. But yeah, I would say that it's getting really focused on like first things first, like what matters, what matters the most. And so, for example, I don't open my email anymore before maybe 2 o'clock. I try not to anyways. I even keep my WhatsApp. So I'm chatting with the whole team on WhatsApp. I'm trying to keep that closed until the first things first. Like, what do I absolutely non-negotiable need to get done today? And I'm not going to react to people that need things from me, but rather start by being proactive and saying, these are the things I need to do. Some of those things involve like personal development stuff, like journaling for me, and morning pages is a non-negotiable. That gets done before anybody gets a text or a call or an email, before I check my phone or anything. So doing that work along with like meditation, is become even more of a priority now as I'm looking to scale to bigger levels than it ever has been. And that's always been a part of my practice, but sometimes I let it slip and slide. And it's like, if I don't have my mindset right, then nothing else flows. So that's been a big priority to me. But also just really choosing, like, if everything is important, nothing is important. Right. So even though I've got a million ideas and a lot of things that I want to do, sometimes, you know, they call it in writing. They say, you have to kill your darlings. Like, you know, I've got this brilliant, you know how many course ideas I have? You're only hearing of like the five that I'm talking about, right? But there's probably like 50. And so it's also about getting really clear on what matters, like what's going to move the needle, what, you know, and that from a combination of what serves not only the audience, but also is like really alive inside of my heart. Right. And finding that perfect balance of like, this is what I really want to say and what I really want to talk about and what people really need. Right. So a lot of this, as you can tell from this little rant, is inner work. And it's actually much more simple than like, well, then I get into my Monday board and then I use this status column and I change that. I'm in less of that right now. But I think when you're doing a lot of client work, as I was more so a couple years ago, those tools are super important, but that's kind of what I'm doing now from a different right. perspective.
That's also fascinating to know too, as we just talk about growing through systems that serve you at yeah. the level that you're at.
Yeah.
And I'd just be curious, you know, maybe I think people would really be interested in, could you unpack a little bit of like a day in the life in CEO land? Like you touched on your morning routine, which I know we've talked about a little bit more in some recent trainings and the value of it. Mm-hmm. But I just think people would be so curious to know like how that operationally looks for you. You know, because it seems like you're someone who's always got a million things in the air. You're ever present on social media. You know, do you have like a sample of that, that you'd be willing to share with the listeners?
Yeah. So, like I said, my non-negotiables are that I journal like stream of consciousness journal. So it's more of a brain dump. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's gold in there. Sometimes there's ideas, but that's not the point. I'm not trying to do anything other than just empty out my mind when I wake up. Mm-hmm. I'm also meditating, moving my body. And that can mean like a long walk. It can mean yoga. It just means like I got to get like a little bit of break a sweat a little bit, move the body. Mm-hmm. I usually make sure, and I read more than this, but my minimum per day is 10 pages of a transformational book. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I will swap that with the journaling in the morning. Like if I'm feeling it, like I feel like I'm looking for something, like if I, especially like a good right. spiritual book or something just like sets the tone for the day, I might swap that out with the journal and then journal afterwards. So mm-hmm. that's taking up, I mean, between that, I think that takes up a couple hours in the morning. Next, I look at what I've stopped looking. I've stopped starting my days with like to-do lists and emails. Yeah. It's not that I don't have a to-do list, but the thing is my to-do list is very long. It's very big and there's no way I could ever accomplish it. Right. So what I do is I plan ahead of time. Right. So I now, for example, I've been working on some bonus videos for a funnel that we're working on. Mm-hmm. I have been just putting one thing on my list every day. Like this is the only, it's like I have a main, like a general to-do list, but I have a today yeah. to-do list, right? And I only mm-hmm. look at that day so that I know like what is my one to three things I need to accomplish depending on the size of the task. Because I'm shooting right. content pretty large videos right now, I've only put one per day so that I'll actually get it done. And then if I right. knock it out, I can go back to that general to-do list, which is a little bit more nuanced. It's got a little bit more granular look at like prioritization, due dates, stuff like that. And I can move things to the day if I've gotten through the one thing I know I need to do today. So
right.
I'm
it's
doing
kind of a big domino approach.
Exactly.
What's the big domino for right. the day?
And so that is the biggest mindset shift I've made, especially this year, I'd say even towards the end of last year, is looking at the things that absolutely must have to be done instead of going, well, let me check the emails first and then let me do the message and then let me get to chat with the team. It's like, no, like all of that stuff can wait. All of that can wait. Like what are the non-negotiables that absolutely must be done? Starting with personal first, which I have not always done. I used to like wake up, make coffee. I don't have time to meditate. Like I've been there too, where it's like, you know, get in, start working, you know, start grinding. And I saw the negative effects that that had on me by not getting myself right first. And so I feel much more aligned doing it this way first, starting with the inner work and then chunking away at the most important things.
Right.
It's really important to say that too. And I want to just unpack that a little bit more because it's so easy to get stuck into the, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And we look at this massive to-do list and we start chunking it out, right? Oftentimes what we avoid through perfectionism and over-planning are the most important things. So for example, these freaking bonus videos have needed to be done for a long time. And because I knew that and I was wanting it to be perfect, I was procrastinating it. So I had to flip my mindset around it. I had to stop saying, oh, I'll just bang that out at the end of the day. Because when it got to the end of the day, I was like, no, I made it this big thing. So oftentimes it's like the thing we need to do the most is the thing we resist the most. And it ends up getting put on the back burner while we knock out a bunch of other minutia bullshit that doesn't even move the needle. Like, I'm sorry, somebody can wait for a return email. Like, you know what I mean? But what cannot wait is the work that I put into the world, my communication, my message, my art, my products, you know, like that's, that's not only my business, that's my livelihood, it's my life, it's my heart, right? But I wanted to make sure I mentioned that the resistance is actually strongest around the most important things that we have.
Right,
therefore, I do, as I guess Brian Tracy would say, eat the frog, put it first. right?
I think it's so wise, especially when if anyone you know, has works with teams or within teams, the idea of serving the thing that only you can do first,
exactly.
You know, putting that in the priority is really valuable. I think, okay, so let's talk about me right now. This is what's going on in my life. The chaos, you know, that I feel, I don't feel like I'm living in chaos, but whenever I feel like I'm being in a very chaotic state of juggling too much, it does seem like it's tackling the minor things. Like I'll wake up and this happens to me all the time, 5 times a week. This happens to me. I'll wake up sort of in a stressed out state of like, I got to get these things done. And they're usually small. They're like, maybe it's a small little PLAB task that I just wanted to, like, I couldn't finish the night before. It's like sending a couple notifications, an email, like something like that, something sort of admin. And it probably takes 30 minutes before it's done. And then like, it'll be 10:30, 11. And I had all this pressure on the day. And then my day's sort of like open, but it's like these small things. And Ben, one of our team members here, a coach in PLAB, said this really interesting thing to me one time about writing down things before you go to bed, so you sort of like do away with them, like kind of making a note, and that sort of time management piece. When I adopt it, I find way more sort of like peace when I wake up. And I just think it's so interesting. You're talking about prioritizing your sort of like inner work to make sure you're showing up to things that in truth were not that important or urgent. Like I felt they were urgent, but I did all of that. Right.
Well, and the reason I'm prioritizing that inner work is like, it's like the person getting that right first. Once we increase our capacity, which we can only do through inner work, right?
Right.
The things that seemed really big, the things that may have taken us a couple hours or may have been like had a lot of resistance, the resistance gets less. Those things get easier. They get done faster, right? That's the whole, you know, slow down to speed up. So many of us, you know, and I've been this person, it's like octopus on roller skates, you know, it's like you're going nowhere and really fast. You're really busy, yes. Right? But like, where are you going? And it's just that like, okay, it's also the Abraham Lincoln, like if I had an hour to chop down a tree, it's been the first 40 minutes sharpening the axe, you know?
Yeah.
It's that slow down to speed up. And that's what the inner work is for me. Because when I go to attack the rest of those little tasks throughout the day, rather than starting my day with them, they tend to just like really get knocked out. And there was something else I wanted to just jump into there really quick. If something can be done in 5 minutes or 2 minutes or less, just do it. Because there's also this energetic thing of like, and I do this, and I'm trying to find a way to get better. So I'm just going to say it out loud because you teach most what you need to learn. So there we go.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever looked at an email and you're like, oh, okay, I don't have the, I can't respond to that right now. So you, instead of marking it unread, you mark it unread, right? But then you come back to it and you look at it again later in the day and you go, oh, I don't have time for that. And then you have to mark it unread again. Every time you do that little thing that procrastinates the task that really only takes a few minutes.
Yeah.
You just, first of all, you're storing it up here where it doesn't belong in your head, where that's, you know, you're taking up space. But the time you're spending procrastinating is way longer than the time it would take to just respond to the damn email. Right. So there's an element of like, yeah, the little things don't matter. Don't do them first. Don't prioritize them. But also when you do them, doing them correctly. Right. Because to be efficient means to do things right. But to be effective means to do the right thing.
Oh, I love that. More knowledge bombs from Chris Bradley. I love that. You know, that kind of brings me into this question that I'm curious about is kind of managing your energy. And I sort of mean that from like a physical standpoint, like burnout, exhaustion, but less on a macro, more on like a day-to-day level. Like for me, I find myself, so this happened Wednesday. I had this sort of experience where I fell asleep on the couch and Christine, my partner's like, you should just sleep on the couch because I have a lot of trouble falling asleep. Yeah. But if I fall asleep, she's like, I'm just going to leave you here. Like if you fall asleep. So I fell asleep on the couch early. I woke up at 4 a.m, like ready to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anywhere to be that day. So I knew if I needed to nap or something, I could just, you know, have a nap in the afternoon. So I got up at 5 o'clock and just like, just dive in, man, you're awake, you're doing it. And I didn't, and I kind of worked literally from about 5 a.m. till about 10 p.m. on a lot of things like my PLAB work, my artist work, like everything. It was just a heavy lifting day. And I felt like I could have done more at the end. I was like, oh man, like, but I'm dead. Like I have to go to sleep. And I'm just curious, like, you know, Christine says to him, he's like, this is great. Like, there's no way you sustain, like, you'll do this one day. And she was totally right. Like, there's no way I could do it again. It was sort of a fluke. Just, we all have those days you can't sleep. You might as well get up. But I'm curious, when you're dealing, you know, in a situation like yourself, working at a high level, being a high performer, I would imagine that's something you have to be very conscious of, is managing how, you know, your much energy you can bring, because eventually you just get tired. And once you're tired, like, once I'm tired, game over. Like, I'm like, I'm useless to anyone. So yeah. I find that that's like, I'm battling getting exhausted in the day. It's like, I gotta get these things done before I get too tired to do them, because I just can't keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm just so curious how you manage that. And I'm imagining it's probably a lot of inner work, like you say too, but just on a day to day, you know, is that something you're conscious of, something you're sort of trying to mitigate?
Yeah. So, I mean, you did just nail it right there, where when I start my day off with the inner work, like making sure that I'm outputting by creating, right? By journaling. Inputting by reading, and I'm, you know, meditating. So I'm getting clear, right? All of that increases my capacity to do my work at a higher level throughout the rest of the day without getting burnt out, right?
Are you doing any meditations within the day too? Or is it more of a morning for you?
As needed, yeah. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to get to this, and I will skip it in the morning and I'll just do it in the middle of the day. And there have been, you know, there are times when, like, I've had to skip a meditation. I'm not perfect, you know, but my meditation practice. But, you know, it's more about, like, you know, kind of going like, what do I need, right? Like, what does my body need right now? And listening to that and understanding the difference between resistance, and which can cause kind of laziness and procrastination, right? And understanding the need for actual rest. I think burnout would actually just be a really good thing for us to do an entire episode on, because it's so, like, I have so many thoughts and feelings about it that I don't want to kind of go down that rabbit hole that would take us out of the context of this conversation. But I do believe that when you're doing something that you really, really love, that you're less likely to burn out. And I do believe that burnout, like, does get really, it gets a little almost overused, where somebody's like, oh, I love what I'm doing. And I'm spinning my wheels and I'm just burning out. And it's like, the burnout is coming from doing the part of what you love that you do that you don't love what you do, right? It's not coming from the thing that you love, because when you do the thing you love and time goes by, like, it's called flow, and you don't notice it. Notice the difference, though. So what's the difference between burnout and flow? It's mindset. Right? It's like, you know, you're in flow, all of a sudden 8 hours have gone by and you're like, damn, I didn't even notice. But you're doing something you hate, 3 hours go by and you're burned out. So it's like, everything comes back to mindset. Everything comes back to perspective. So you either need to change the way you're looking at the thing that you're doing that is burning you out, or you need to stop doing the thing that you hate that's burning you out. Because when you're doing something that you're in alignment with, you don't get burned out. And that's my short version. But like I said, I really think we could do a whole episode on this, because I don't want to be insensitive to mental health and the fact that burnout does exist, but I want to unpack it more in a future episode.
I love that. I feel like, you know, there's so many things that I discovered in this conversation about time management, and really it is sort of a twofold front. I mean, it's all about systems, but there's so much, like you say, and we talk about it in Peel Up all the time, mindset is our foundation one, right? You're building a house on sand if you don't get your mindset pieces right. And Brendon Burchard, who I reference a lot, he has a similar idea about meditations throughout the day and in the morning to sort of reset your capacity for work, right? Like taking those smaller breaks. I'm really guilty of burning hard without taking breaks. Yeah. And I find when I take smaller ones throughout the day, like 10 minutes, like work 50 minutes, take 5 minutes off.
Yeah.
That keeps my energy able to sort of get going way more than if I do 3 hours straight with no breaks.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be mindful of that, though. So that's a really interesting concept.
100. And there's also very much like a know thyself element to this as well. So, you know, you can get really nerdy with time management. And a lot of people swear by the Pomodoro effect. You know, the Pomodoro, is that what it's called? Where you use the tomato timer. Anyways, it's working in sprints where it's like every, I think it's every 50 minutes, you take a 10 minute break or something to that nature. That does not work for me. Because of my nature, I know myself. And it's like, it takes me a little bit of time to get into flow. But when I get into flow, I hyper-focus. So I will be that person that and lovingly is like 6 hours into a project, like, whoa, I don't know where the time went. And I I love that. It is a superpower for me. Some people could never do that because it would really kind of hurt, you know, their psyche. So it's know yourself. A lot of people like working in those sprints or even, and there's an element that I kind of play with this where like, if I'm doing something that like, okay, it needs to be done. It's not my favorite thing to do. I might dangle a carrot of some sort. Like, okay, if you get to the end of this and you get this done, you get to go to Starbucks or, you know, or you get to scroll, you know, cause like, you know, yeah. And look at social media or something, which by the way, since we're on the time management episode, I deleted my social media apps. I want to say just a few days ago, as somebody that's very active on social media, just to share that personal experience with you, because you asked about what I'm doing these days. Instagram is not living on my phone right now, neither. And I'm not saying this is for everything. I'm trying it out.
Yeah.
Neither is Twitter, neither is Facebook. Because even though I curate my feeds to be inspiring things so that I can't scroll mindlessly. So at least if I feel compelled to scroll, I'm scrolling like entrepreneur quotes, motivation, you know, things that are, or travel things. So, cause I want to go to Italy. So I like see pictures of that. But even so, there is this thing where it's like, and I'm sure you've noticed this, Patrick, where you're checking your phone. You're like, okay, I'm done scrolling. You put it down and within seconds you've opened that fucking app again. And you're like, what? There's no way there could be anything new here. Like, and it's like, that scares me. I don't like doing anything out of consciousness, right? So I just want to encourage that as a part of this. You know, yes, there's a lot of logical, really cool, systematic things that you can bring to time management, but there is a very, very, not as much logical, but more consciousness-based. You know, it's a feeling of like, who am I being right now? Like, who am I deciding to be? Like, my identity? Like, do I want my phone to run me, own me? Do I respond? Like, is that what I do? Is that how I start my day? By looking at what other people want and need and feel and think? Am I a creator or am I a consumer? Right? So it's like getting that part is really important. So anyways, I deleted my apps. And let me tell you something. I already feel less stressed. Not that I feel super stressed all the time, but I feel less stressed. And I also feel like more, more productive because I don't feel like there's that, can I check my phone now thing happening? And then when I want to check my phone, I will go to, I'll go online to make sure that I've, you know, checked my notifications, messages, anything I need to respond to. Or if I need to post something, I'll just simply upload the app so that I can post in the moment and then I'll delete it. If anyone feels like they're kind of, you know, stuck on their phone, it's been helpful.
I love that. And, you know, Chris, you and I say all the time that our brains are just like locked in sync when we sort of have the same ideas. And a few days ago, I did something very similar in terms of tools people can use. I just found an app that blocks social media apps for me. So I didn't take them off. I use them quite actively as in my artist life. But I was having that similar problem where it's like if I was especially recording, I found there was so many times of like waiting for things to bounce or files to like, that's when I would grab it. And then I'd be like, man, the thing I waited 60 seconds for, I took 4 minutes for because I was scrolling. So this is not an endorsement. I'm currently using an app called Opal, which blocks social media. So you can just be like, hey, I'm in a study session. And I just needed something that took me more than one button push to open up Instagram again.
Even introducing the friction was enough.
Friction was enough.
It's funny because we are so in each other's heads because I was thinking there's probably an app for this because I do, you know, like I do have to, not daily, but occasionally because I schedule most of my stuff with social media on Loomly or, you know, our team does too a lot. But like sometimes I want to post a story or I want to post in the moment. So I am having to like upload the apps and I'm like, I bet there's an app for this. So I wonder if that might be helpful.
Yeah, so I did some research. So I definitely recommend because that's a big thing. It's like unconscious, you know, time eaters. And the only other thing I wanted to mention, I learned this from a friend in the airport that I met when I was coming to Funnel Hacking Live. There's another wonderful app called GoodMind, and it sort of gives you the dopamine hit of scrolling, but it's just sort of like thematic quotes of whatever you want to be. You know, I was in like an anxious period. I was looking for, you know, mindset quotes. And anyways, it gives you that sort of scroll of unlimited sort of like self-help, personal development stuff. And he's like, I don't like, I go on Instagram to him, like, I scroll this now. So your point of like only following inspirational places is another good tool to use.
Yeah. It's like an app that's doing what I've kind of created in my social media environment. Yeah. No, that's a good idea, you know? And that's, I feel like we're going to go on a little rabbit hole, but I don't care. It's good. Here's the thing. Like there's an information age, like information's everywhere. It's super, we're getting these, even if like, like we're getting these dopamine hits. It's kind of like fast food. It's like sugar, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like, it mm-hmm. feels really good to check our phone, to get a notification, to see that new piece of content that makes it, you know, that entertains us or educates us, right? It's like, I'm not saying like, oh, delete your social media and never scroll and never consume. I'm just saying like, you know, like it's like food. It's like, you know, I love chocolate, but I don't go out and buy like the cheapest, like pump full of chemicals, whatever, you know, regular chocolate. Like I get organic, dark, 70% cacao. Like, you know, I find ways to still be able to get my fix in, like, you know, even if it means getting a gluten-free pizza instead of getting a regular pizza from Domino's or getting an organic pizza. You know, there's a way that we can improve the, you know, what are your inputs? Improve the quality of your inputs to improve the quality of your outputs. So, you know, as you're, if you find that you're like, yeah, I want to scroll, it's like you could consume higher quality content and that would immediately make you feel better.
Yeah.
Also, can we have a whole podcast episode about that?
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, in time management is the biggest thing on my mind lately. And I'm juggling so many big projects currently that was the thing I needed to cut out was social media, like the micro distractions of a few minutes here and there, unintentionally, 100%. Like you say.
100%.
It's been a big help, especially I'm in a place right now with studio work. It's got to be really efficient because I just don't have the space to, like, you know, someone's like, oh, I've only got one song to do today. And it's like, I think you told me to this. It takes as long as the amount of time you have, like whatever task you have will take the amount of time.
Parkinson's law is a very real thing. And it states that you will expand to fill whatever amount of time you have to complete a task. So if it's like, Chris, we're going to go to dinner. You've, you know, 5 minutes to get ready. It'll take me 5 minutes to get ready. You know, it's like, Chris, you have 20 minutes to get ready. It'll take me 20 minutes to get ready. Right. Same thing. You have a paper that's due in 30 days. Most people will put it off until the last 24 to 48 hours. Right. So Parkinson's law, you know, is a very real thing. And what I love about it is it's not one of those things that we're like victim to so much as like we can use it to our advantage. That's another thing I do for time management is I put deadlines that are unavoidable to overcome resistance on my list, right? So what that might look like in its very most extreme form, which I actually haven't done, but I'll give a good example because that's not true. I might put together like a training, right? Promote that. Hey, everyone, here's the date that we're going to show up for this. And then it's not entirely done yet. Well, there's no way I could now procrastinate finishing that presentation if we're going to go live and, you know, in 2 weeks to do it, right? But if I just said, oh, I'm going to put together this thing and then when it's done, we'll then invite people to come, right? So that's forced Parkinson's law right there.
Right.
So
you can sort of use it to your advantage if you set your own guidelines to get things done, even though, you know, you have to self-enforce deadlines even throughout the day has been helpful for me. It's like, I can't work past 4 o'clock because I have to go for another thing.
Right.
Imposing that on yourself.
You know, what if it's just an accountability thing? Like, what if you're like, man, I've been putting off finishing this project. So I'm going to just make a video publicly and tell everyone, hey, I'm working on this thing. It's going to be done by Thursday. If nothing else, and I'm not saying you have to promote your single before it's finished and mastered.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, but that would be a fun game too. But I am saying like you can do, it's like we tend to, it's like a human nature that once we make a promise to something or we declare something, we tend to want to stick to our word because nobody wants to look like a liar, right? So it's like these little things that we can kind of trick our subconscious minds into making us more productive or helpful as well. Before we go any further, I just want to make sure that we kind of pull back a little bit. Because we kind of jumped right in at systems, which I would say is like organizing, strategizing, you know, and executing and all that. But there's definitely the before that even. And we kind of touched on this, which is prioritizing, right? And, you know, there's a quote from Brian Tracy, the author of Eat That Frog. And it says, you know, one of the very worst uses of time is to do something very well that need not be done at all, right? So I wanted to make sure that, and I don't think I said this at the top, that my first thing, like there's a system called DAD, delete, automate, delegate. The first thing I ever do before I go and start systemizing all the shit I have to do is I delete this stuff. And I think I kind of said that, you know, in so many words, but a simplified, actionable, you know, framework for you is DAD.
Right.
Delete. How can I delete this? Does this even need to be done, right? automate, mm-hmm. is there a way that I can make this so that it's faster, right? Even if it's like an email template, like you're sending out the same email, or you're typing the same thing all the time. There's an app where you can call Text Expander, where instead of writing somebody's email, you could program a little shortcut, just like you do in your DAW, that now I type hashtag PAT, Patrick at Produce Like a Boss pops up, right? So it's like, could I automate this in a way that saves me time every time, right? Or could I delegate it? You know, is this something that I should even be doing? Like if you're spinning your wheels, creating graphics or a website, and that's not your zone of genius, and you're just trying to make great music, you might find it better to actually outsource that to someone else, right? So delete, automate, delegate.
I love that, because that is a great way to wrap up, because I wanted to ask what would be a good introduction for people that are like pretty much new to this world of time management. And I think that is
You brought me back to it. I'm like, I don't want the show to go by without mentioning this. And that is a great way to wrap it up. Yeah. And just to be clear, I didn't come up with that, but I don't know where it came from originally, but it's a very good framework. The DAD framework, delete, automate, delegate.
If you're listening and you invented it, reach out at Patrick at Produce Like a Boss. I will give you credit in the show notes.
We will tag you in the show notes. Thank you for your awesome framework.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, this has been another just incredible episode. So much great stuff to unpack. I always love going through and editing and just listening back to the conversation, because there's just so many, you know, insightful things in there. So I hope people got a lot of value if they're working in the time management pool, they're dipping their toe. You know, there's lots of great stuff there. So we'll leave it there for now. We'll see you guys again soon with another episode. Thank you guys again for tuning in.
All right. See you guys. As always, I'm going to take us out with one of my songs. We're going to go way back on this one. We're going to kick it old school. I did this in partnership with Dazzy and Jeff Sikarski back in my Nashville days. And this one's called Margarita Monday. Sipping on 2 for 1, spoon of those, here we go, soaking up the sun. Baby, hold the mix and make it skinny on the rocks. Roll that salt around the rim so I could lick it off. Feels like a getaway. TGI. If you like the taste of danger, chips are swimming in a sea of spicy queso dip. Mariachi's playing Marley for a fatty tip. Everything's gonna be.